You're listening to Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Fiona. How are you?
I am good today. It's a sunny day here in California. We have a quote here from Albert Camus. Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Just walk beside me and be my friend.
That's beautiful.
It's a beautiful quote, isn't it?
For me, it's everything about partnership.
Yes.
Whether it's a relative, it's your husband, it's your wife, it's your child, it's politician. It's walking together mm-hmm. and it's also very similar to what Krishnamurti would say. You know, all the great spiritual leaders would say, "Don't follow me. I'm not a guru. Don't follow me." Gandhi said it. You know,
I think Buddha said it.
Buddha, yeah, as well. Mm-hmm. So all these great spiritual leaders felt that too. Yeah, I like it. What brought that to your attention?
I'm not sure. I think I was just looking through quotes, and it just seemed to be such a cool quote, because it's so relevant in our culture. Because we're brought up in education to follow. Remember, we've talked so much about this, which is you go into a
schoolroom. Do as I say.
Do as I say, not as you think. But I know there was one.
Don't question authority.
Yeah, there was one friend of mine who he said, "Don't tell me what you want to tell me. Tell me what you think I want to hear." It was a teacher who, and I think that
what's all wrong with the education system?
I mean, there are wonderful teachers who really want you to question, and then there are lots of teachers who don't, who just want to do rote, and that of course breeds sheep, and that of course breeds people who can't think clearly,
think for themselves.
Yeah, they just feel like they've got to follow someone.
Lemmings.
Yes, and it's nobody's fault. It's not our fault if we're lemmings. And the funny thing is, you can be a lemming in one area and a radical, radical's too big, and someone who's able to follow their own truth in another area. Don't you find that?
I think so. I think especially when those of us, or all of us, who not have a knowledge or an experience of something, so they feel that they can talk about that maybe, but it doesn't mean they're going to lead somebody down their path. I also love that quote that we did about a truly educated person is someone who doesn't automatically accept whatever they're told, accept or reject, but allow it so that they can then work with it and figure out what it is, which is what he's talking about here, Albert Camus. But that's our education system is not like that. It's just learn by rote. Learn what I teach you. Remember it. Keep it in your mind.
And it's supposed to help us in that. But, you know, we've talked about this so many times too, is that there's really no education on how to live your life, or how to survive in your daily experience of your life. And that's one of the reasons we have so much depression and so much disconnection. Because when you're disconnected, you go into that hopelessness, mm-hmm. which is the depression that comes down on you, and all sorts of other things with depression. But we're probably the most educated, one of the most educated countries in the world.
I wouldn't say that anymore, though.
Well, as far as school learning goes.
I still wouldn't say that anymore. No.
Oh, okay. Mm-mm. What do you think?
Having lived in Europe for a long time, I watched my son in England beginning at age 6 learning Latin, French, Greek, music. Another form of expression is music. And mm-hmm. Debates, all of that, which we don't have anymore in our schools here.
No.
We're just given textbooks and told to read it and write something out, memorize it.
We lose.
Yeah, and the whole tutorial system in England is you So you might have different classrooms you go to, but there's one teacher, like it used to be home, like homeroom.
More like college than school.
Yeah. But even in schools, even in the lower grades that my son was in, they had like a what they call a tutor, which would be like your homeroom teacher, except you would go to the tutor's homeroom. So you wouldn't be in the same class that you would start out with in the morning. And your tutor would then pick a subject and you'd debate it. And he'd ask questions about why do you
think
this is. That's
very English.
Yes, I mean, and the other thing in England is what one thing that I noticed is, you know, and I mentioned this before, there are like 6 editions of each newspaper. It's published every few hours. And people always read the newspapers. They always read what's going on in the world. You stop anyone in the street and they know what's going on in the world. And in this country, that people can barely mention anything about what's going on in the world. I mean, there have been things on television to show people, like the Jimmy Kimmel Show and various things that try to remind people of how little and poorly educated our children are.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that you're not... My dad grew up in an English... with tutors and things in Africa, but in an English system. And so he had us question everything. And actually, honestly, when we got to Australia and went to regular prep school, it was not accepted, except for me in religious education. I happen to have a fantastic religious instructor.
Oh, lucky you.
But apart from that, you were not allowed to question. Yeah. It was a very difficult transition for me, being in a family where Dad would question everything and ask us to question everything. And, you know, at his family, evidently, when they sat at night and had dinner, there were these really wild debates that they would do. And we did some of that at home, too, and we were encouraged to debate and talk about things.
Can I just ask you this? Did your father know, having been educated in a different system, that when you all moved to Australia, did he have an understanding of what the education system that you'd be... No, so you
no,
know?
No, he didn't really. I mean, because it was Australia, and Australia is both so much based quite a lot on the English systems, they had no idea at all. And as I said, I didn't anyway say anything to them because I knew they were struggling so hard. They moved at 50 and you know, left everything behind. They couldn't bring much with them. So they had a very tough time. Yeah. So I just kept it all to myself. But no, he didn't. I don't believe he did.
Yeah.
He would know.
Yeah, that must have been, you saved him probably from a lot of anguish if he realized what you were going through in school. I always say it's never too late. Don't give up. We've got to change the education system.
And change ourselves if we can.
Change ourselves.
But no, without judging ourselves. So that if you find that you're accepting something in your life,
this is the, yes,
just stop and say, oh, in a gentle, calm, non-judgmental way, could I question this?
Yes.
Can I question, for one day, question everything?
Yeah.
And just see how different it comes.
It's such a great idea because even if you're out and about and somebody says something to you and you find yourself just taking that in and accepting it, say to yourself, wait a second, let me ponder this. I don't have to react to this. Let me just ponder it. And then when you get home and you can put your feet up and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, think about what was said to you and what your reaction was to it, why that reaction. Is it true?
For you. Because different things are true for different people.
Yes, exactly. And we've got to get to know ourselves. That's why I want the University of Unlearning.
Well, that's kind of what these podcasts are.
Yes. Right?
We're to open up those areas in us that we might have not opened up before.
Right.
And so this is make this the week of questioning.
Yes, oh, and pondering. I
pondering
love that
is
word.
A wonderful.
Pondering.
Can you explain pondering?
Okay. I guess it's British, I'm not sure, but pondering is thinking. It's thinking deeply about, and questioning and going over things, spending time with it. So it's like a juicy, ooh, let me think about this. Let me look at it from all sides, not just give it a glance and think and then make a choice of something. Ooh, I'm going to ponder this today. This is what I want to ponder today. And I might just take one thing and just incorporate thinking about that, pondering that during the daytime. And then maybe when it's time to go to bed, saying, did I come to any conclusion? Or am I still pondering? And the thing that I like that just comes up with me right now is I woke up with this morning, the difference between alternatives and options. Because a lot of times people think they're the same thing, and they're not. An alternative is one thing or the other. It's like a choice between two things. And that should always be the last resort, I think. Options are many different choices, and maybe many, many more than you even think there are choices. So it's good to spend time pondering the options, because it's sometimes you'll say, oh, that's not really realistic, I'll put that aside. But wait a minute, I'm thinking about, here's another option. This is where our creativity, our self-thinking comes in, where we bring our own wisdom into something from our own experiences, and we begin to have our own mind.
Yeah, it frees us from being trapped.
Yeah, so remember, alternatives is when you've narrowed everything down and you either do it or you don't do it. That's the alternative. The options can be so big, so wonderful. And that's where the pondering comes in.
Yeah, and I think both pondering, too, the way I sort of see it is that when you're pondering, you're relaxed.
Yes.
And you're easy. And that's when kind of more the theta mind can come in, and just you're relaxed in it. And so new stuff and alternative stuff comes up. Because when we're stuck in alternatives, as you were saying, we don't feel or even think about options.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a wonderful thing, because if we ponder and relax and drop back into the creative part of our alpha or even deeper theta brainwaves, we can find things that we wouldn't have otherwise thought about.
And I also find, and I do my ponderings, there's a lot of laughter that comes in. There are options and things and ideas that come in, and some of them are so funny, and I just, it amuses me. But all of that opens you up to further possibilities.
Yeah, it's a type of meditation in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the thing is that quite often we get stuck in the alternatives because we're rushing around so much. And when we drop into bed, we don't even have time to stop and go through the day and look at our options in the things that have happened in the day. So we're just constantly facing alternatives. Instead of pondering and dropping into the options. I think those are wonderful ideas, and they can really change our life, because we get stuck in these very strong pathways or rigid train tracks. And when you do that, it kind of expands everything.
There's another little tiny element to this alternative things. When we think we're narrowed it down, do I do this or do I not do this? There's a third one. If you find yourself that you don't like any of those two options, you can open yourself back up to options by saying, or I don't do anything at all. And once you say that, I'm not making the decision now, I'm not doing anything at all, you open the whole thing up again to allowing more options coming in.
You can relax more than two.
But if you get to the point where it's one or the other, and you like both of those, and then there's a way of finding out which one you do choose. But then you're at the place where you can make a happy choice.
That's so wonderful. And we get so nervous oftentimes when we have to make a choice, especially when it's a significant choice.
Well, yes, because we're so afraid of failure.
And being looked at as a failure, which, of course, we've done so many shows. Be yourself, everyone else is taken.
I know, but that's by failing at something, you can really learn so much about what would make it a successful. What happened that made it not work? Ah, I got it. Now, if you just have a success, how do you figure out what made it a success? You don't know. You don't know. But you certainly learn from failure. So I think if failure means a pat on the back and you learn something and pick up and carry on.
Maybe we could also begin to change the word failure to something else.
Yeah,
because,
wouldn't
you know,
that be nice?
Challenge instead of failure or something like that, because I think all of us have gone through periods where things have failed, or we failed, we thought we did. And when we look back, if we're able to just ponder it, as you said,
yes,
we find that we've gained a lot of strength.
It was the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yes. So I would guess today, think about looking at the options, but taking a little time, even if you sit back in your office chair, take a few breaths, feel your feet, put the corners of your lips up and say, I'm going to ponder this question I have.
Yes. Or if somebody says something to you, and it's the first time you've heard this idea or this thing, rather than accepting it or rejecting it, I'm going to ponder this today.
Yeah, and I think
and
that...
And figure out whether it's something that you want to believe in or not.
And it's okay if you do.
Yeah, and it's okay if you don't.
Yes, and that's the thing. That's why walking behind... Don't walk... I can't remember the quote now.
Don't walk behind me, I may not lead.
Yes. So just remember that we are all amazing leaders in ourselves, for ourselves.
Yes.
I think in one of the things I have in the feng shui that I do is become your own feng shui master, because the truth of the matter is we all are our own guru. We
yes,
all are
exactly.
our own master.
You got it. You
and
got
if
it.
We can uncover enough, we don't have to walk behind somebody.
This is what I used to say to people. I'd rather share what I know and make myself redundant than teach people things and not. I want to make myself redundant.
Yeah.
You know, I want to share what I feel, what I understand about things, and let people decide for themselves. And
yeah, and the interesting thing is when you share, when I first started sharing classes in Australia on how to open your intuition and use that in a professional way, there were quite a few psychics that were kind of angry with me because they thought it was going to take them out of business.
Yeah.
And I said to them, you know, I don't believe that. I think there's enough for everybody. And absolutely, I mean,
well,
now...
Here's the whole point of that, exactly, because there is that fear, I know, but here's the main thing is that we all have an ability in the psychic realm, and it appears in us in different ways. Nobody's the same as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can use this for the betterment of people, not for ourselves, but for the benefit of others. This is what I mean about making myself redundant. I will help anybody who wants to learn how to do what I know, but I don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I only know the ability that was given to me to express, but you have different ways too.
Absolutely.
And I honor that. I don't think this is a competition in any way, shape, or form.
And when we walk beside someone, if we can do it joyously and
yes.
not sternly or fearfully, just have more lightness in our life, realizing it doesn't really matter. Because if we fall on our face, the most important thing is just to stand up and keep going.
Yeah.
Or just sit down and ponder it so that we can see what our options are.
Yeah.
If somebody's trying to make you walk behind them, you want to question it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. That often comes up when I'm working with somebody, and all of a sudden I get the feeling is, oh, they're looking for a guru, they're looking for their leader that will show them the way. And at some point I always say, you know, you are the guru for yourself.
Mm.
And I often say, you know, you'll learn from many people, but don't, you know, get...
Especially from yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of information...
Don't get led away from yourself. Because when we get into the people who are putting themselves forward as a guru for this or that, you're walking into huge ego territory. And that's not good for any form of spiritual revelation or experiences.
I mean, it can be useful from time to time. It's like if somebody walks with somebody like that for a while, it if they really move to do that, it must be part of their, part of what they are expanding. Yeah, yes, expanding themselves. And so, you know, you do that and then you look back and you go, oh, that was an interesting part.
Yeah, but what a wonderful leader that would be, if I can put the quotes around the leader or guru, is to say, good job, you can do it yourself now.
Krishnamurti did a lot of that, I think.
Exactly.
So Krishnamurti is...
That's a way of honoring people. Rather than capturing them, you're honoring them.
Well, I think people who have to put themselves up as leaders or have to be followed, even teachers who do that, it means they're insecure.
Yeah.
And they are not secure enough to feel that it's okay for people to walk beside them. They have to put themselves in a position because they're too fearful to have people walking beside them.
Mm-hmm.
And not to judge them either, because, you know, I'm sure we've all done it from time to time. But remember that you are the power, and you have the power that is everything that you need. You just have to ponder yourself, ponder your things a little bit more. That's a wonderful word, Jill.
Yeah.
This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you, Jill. As Jill always says, you're home on planet Earth.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.